How you doing, everybody? This is Dennis Michelson. Welcome to the Data Lab on For Frequency's Sake. This is where we're going to crunch the numbers to hopefully make you a smarter fantasy football player in the 2023 season. It's hard to believe, Professor John Bush joining me again this week. Professor, it is hard to believe that the season is over, but that means it's now the best time of the year for us fantasy football nutcases. It's the data season.
It's not baseball or rabbit season. It's data season, right? And so switching from the data rabbit to now a data turtle. So I'm back in my data shell in my data cave right now. I'm looking over the magnificence that is the Bush data cave. I've already started my work. I'm building all my databases, updating them all. Got to get my diary in line. I've already got some initial thinking on how I'm going to approach timing. I think I made in previous ones, I talked about how successful I was with my teams that I formed in August and less successful in July and June, and a little bit of success in early. And I believe your hypothesis was that the middle time, there's so much new data and was confusion, and we get to hear a lot, and that can maybe turn us away from what we're thinking, right? It's kind of like at the racetrack, and you're ready to make a bet, and somebody in front of you, I'm going to put 100 on this horse. And you're like, oh my God, I didn't even want to bet that horse. Am I doing something wrong? And you start doubting yourself. And then all of a sudden, you bet the hot horse, in quotes, the hot dog man told you, and the horse you were going to bet does great, and you don't have a ticket on it. I mean, you just kind of work your way in. So I'm just thinking right now, one lesson was I need to really think about my sensory overload in June and July next year, because everybody's screaming, come to my articles, look what I found, look at my pronouncements. I've got the season winner right here. His name is Paul Revere, right? He can do. From Guys and Dolls, if you've ever. My only Broadway show that I like, because it's about horse racing a little bit. So, yeah, everybody who's gone to the racetrack should watch Guys and Dolls several times. As well as the Lemon Drop Kid. I don't know if you've seen that one. That's a great one. Yeah. And anyway, that's what I'm thinking right now, Dennis, is I'm going to save a lot of my powder, which my bankrolls, my league safe and my FFPC bankrolls are fat. It was a good year, so I can survive the winter, hibernate in my data cave, and I'm going to come out, and I've got lots of bullets to take down some more of these leagues coming, and you and I will be teaming up, and we've got some stuff happening between us. So we're going to rake. 2023 is going to be our good season. We're going to rake the money out hand over fist, and it's just all up from here. At least I'm optimistic.
Well, that's the way it is. Optimistic. If you're gambling on anything and you go into it with a pessimistic thought, you're just donating. You're not investing. You're donating. And this year I did something a little bit different in my way that I handicap my weekly values. So I dated my predictions. And in the past, I've just kind of tinkered with them. And I've never really kept a really good,
a diary of
my predictions. I just let the predictions sort of develop as the year went on. This year, I did one right after the draft. And then I did one around July, and then right before the start of the season. So one of the things I'm going to be doing here in the next few weeks is grade which one of my predictions was better. Was I better with my original thought? Was I better as I got closer to the season? Were there teams that I did better on? You know, I'm going to analyze what went into that, because I do believe that even if you're data-driven, you get a bias built in from all the noise that is out there. I just don't think you can avoid the noise. But here's the question I have for you today, because I'm not sure how to handle this one. My weekly values use a 2-year data source, 2 years worth of data, because I want to have more data points. The question is, should I be using playoff games in that data set? I know not all the players make the playoffs, but would I want to have guys that are on better teams? Yes. So if there is a bias by including a data set from the playoffs, I'm building in having the better teams players. So I'm not too worried about that. But is the game, the way it's played during the regular season and the playoffs, so different that we cannot use that data because it won't represent the fantasy football season next year?
I think by definition, at least how I would vote right now, would be don't use it. When we look at the DAPs, when we look at Vegas, there are clear walkover games. You won't, I mean, regardless, people are, you know, will say, oh, whatever, Baltimore has no chance. Let me tell you, any team in the playoffs can move forward. Whereas we could argue maybe the Houston Texans, or certainly most of the season, were pretty much a walkover. I mean, they woke up later the season. I'm not going to, you know, for Texan fans, I did note that, and I was all in on Cooks, and he disappeared, and he came back, and I was glad. But you won't see that in your data. So you're biasing. It'd be like, oh, I'm going to only use the East teams or the West teams. I think if you start cherry-picking the data, you run the risk of skewing it. And that's why when people set up like neural network learning, that they'll take the data and split it into a training data and a prediction data. And so the training data, you develop your ideas and things, and you look at the other half to look at, okay, this is what I think I can live with. What does the training data say? In other words, data scientists split the databases into two randomly, and use one side to make the model, the other side the test, and you're now skewing your data. It's going to, you know, the apples and oranges. It's going to be apple orange juice. And I think for redraft, I think you run the risk of maybe over emphasizing the good and maybe not appreciating the bad for Nick for 2020.
Yeah, that's the way I was leaning, but I just don't know. You know, I was thinking that the playoffs are just different. You're up against better competition. You're up against better defenses. Your teams are playing different because it's one and done. And, you know, is that going to be indicative? But one thing I was very proud of this year when I've started to do my data reviews from this year, one of the things at quarterback, we'll just look at quarterback. We'll look at a different position every episode. At quarterback this year, Professor, when I looked at the players that were available, and I said, okay, this is a year I really want Mahomes based on the way the schedule goes in the playoffs, because I liked his matchups in weeks 15, 16, and 17. Granted, a lot can change over the course of one season, but I liked the way he was set up for the playoffs. So I had a lot of Mahomes on my redraft teams. Weeks 15 through 17, Patrick Mahomes was number one in averaging 26.3 points a game. He had a 3.8 point per game advantage over second place. The next 3.8% drop takes you all the way down to between 8th and 9th place. Big dominance by Patrick Mahomes. But how about some of these other names that popped up in the top 10 during the playoff season? How about Daniel Jones in 3rd place? Oh. And he was number 1 in Week 17, championship weekend. Tom Brady was number 2. It had kind of an up and down season all year, but he was number 2 in both the average over the playoff weeks and second best on the final week of the season, behind only Daniel Jones. But some of the other guys that made the top 10: Jared Goff, Sam Darnold. How about that? And Brock Purdy at number 12 over the course of the playoffs. Yeah. And as far as making the top 6 for the final game of the season, how about Jared Steedham and Russell Wilson, who had a horrible year, ending up in 5th? So you had the right idea if you loaded up on Patrick Mahomes this year, because he was the number 1 quarterback all season. He was in that, you know, top 3 all year long. And when it came to the playoffs, he had a clear edge. 3.8 points a game is more than a tier advantage. 3 points is a tier in fantasy football. 3.8, better than a tier in a three-week stretch, and that 3 weeks being the important stretch, the playoffs. So Patrick Mahomes, number 1, he was the MVP in fantasy football at quarterback this year.
I think with Kelce staying healthy, that really cemented him to be in that tier. So that really added a cherry to the top of that pick. I certainly had that combination as much as I could. My favorite was Jalen Hurts. In other words, when I was thinking about things and rushing quarterbacks, I was really all in on him, and I grabbed him everywhere I could, and just injury took him out. I probably didn't have enough Minshew in the leagues where I did have Hurts. You get too fancy sometimes, and certainly my diary will tell me more about that, but that was the one that I really, my consistency of the mean data just said he was the overlay to have whenever I think I did that. It's in the article. It was a quarterback case study I did, and it's on our scienceoffantasyfootball.com. You can look at, I've got a big file called 2022 season, and I put everything in there. And so if you want to root around and saw what we were doing and producing, you can go to that file at our website and you can check that out. But that was the one that I think stuck with me. I did wait quarterback, people like Stafford. I remember waiting on him and Goff. And I was good on Goff, but Stafford, you know, went to IR. So I took some hits. Dak, I had him and was happy with him. And then he was hit or miss. And I've got to look at the consistency to kind of review my 2021 data, that how predictive is that to 2022. So that's some of my diary data and conclusions that are yet to that will come. We'll put that on the site, all our, our takes from last year, because it's not something that you need to hide. We've got to learn from our mistakes, and that's the part of having a diary. That's the part of checking your predictions, as you said you're going to do. That's just what we're going to do at the Science of Fantasy Football. That would just be to be realistic. Some of our brethren, our expert brethren out there, in quotes, that was last year. Nobody remembers what I said last year. And Fantasy Receipts has gone dormant on us. So I'm hoping they're lying in the weeds and going to pop back up, gather some new quotes, because they're coming. Season winners are going to – the pronouncements will be about combine time, right? About the time whoever – somebody's going to flash some times, and those are the rookies. It's their season. He just ran something in April or March, whenever a combine is. So there you go. You don't have to worry about drafting. There you go. So I know that needs to be aware of some of the noise. That's coming starting in combine time. And, of course, the draft will have a lot of noise coming as well. So just be aware, noise is coming.
A lot of those shiny new things end up getting drafted a lot farther up the line than some of your reliable veterans that are in that 25 to 29-year-old age group. And those are the guys you want to have. But we'll be breaking down the quarterback data and showing you the data and showing you my prediction, showing you the results. But so far, I'm really happy with the initial look of Patrick Mahomes. He was my guy to load up on because of the playoffs, and I wanted to have an elite quarterback, and that did pay off.
Okay, I'm looking at it. Oh, okay, here it is. Here's the data. I did the quarterback, and what you're looking at, Dennis, is the fantasy points in the top 12 at the end of the season versus the experience level, ours rookie, and take a look at the trend. Check it out. When you said the shiny toy versus the old veterans, look at the top 12. You had basically R2 and R3 were high in the points there. Mahomes, people like him, I think he's, third year now? And then there's a drop, and then 10, 12, 14, some of the older veterans are coming into play. So it's a bimodal distribution versus experience level for the top 12 quarterbacks, if we plotted that from 2022. And I've actually got that data. And if you want to look at 13 to 24th level quarterbacks, it's not as pronounced. And rookies really showed up a lot better in the 13th to 24th versus the top. It's been a while since we've had a rookie just really knock it out year one for quarterbacks. At least last year, we didn't see that. But they were pretty good. If you're doing super flex, they were definitely worthy of your time. So I've got that data. Dennis hadn't seen this. He likes surprising data. So there it is, Dennis. I'm not going to put it out for our fans yet, but man, isn't that neat?
Cool when you have two maximums like that, because it would it.
Isn't it? Yeah, that's there's a type of evolution in biology to where the extremes of the populations actually are benefited in the environment. So that doesn't make sense. Usually you think the average, right? If you run in the middle of the pack, you're safer than the leaders or the ones in behind, right? The wolves will pick you off early or late, but sometimes something's going on in biology that the extremes actually have an advantage over the pack. And that's what 2022 showed us. And then actually, this is from 2013, Dennis. This is, what is that, 8-9 year data here. Woo woo. So I've got that and got lots more data to talk about. Isn't that fun? Look at all that. Is that not fun? Okay. I've been doing all this in my data cave this week. And, you know, I just had to share it with Dennis. Okay. I'm going to hide it from you, Dennis. Your mind will explode. I just got to show you a little bit, right? I just got to lift the napkin over the entree just for a second, get you salivating. Then I'm going to close it back down. And then I'll give you a little more later, kind of like chumming the water, let you froth a little bit. Then I'll throw a little more out there to you. So it's coming, folks. And I will put all this out, the articles and my video lessons. That's what I'm doing all coming up. And we'll have more data than you will need. It'll be more data than I need, but I just can't stop myself. I kind of keep scratching. It's like, are you done? No, I'm never done. If I'm hunting for treasure, I want to dig one more spoonful, going to find that gold coin. That's just me. I can't stop.
No, that's the right way to be when it comes to data, folks. You need to go to the excesses a little bit. So head on over to the scienceoffantasyfootball.com. You'll see a lot of data for the quarterback position here coming out in the next few weeks. And of course, head on back here to For Frequency's Sake for another edition of the Data Lab.
Okay, folks, let's get to work now.